Warfare. Praise and worship is the greatest warfare. It's the greatest weapon for warfare. Man, and now, you know, you change in God's presence. There's healing, deliverance, and there's the process. The more you stay in God's presence, the more you become more like Him. Amen? I need at least 3 worship services a week before I kill somebody. I'm telling you. Listen, the attacks are not getting easier. They're getting harder. You ain't seen nothing yet. The powers of darkness have been released and unleashed. They're attacking tremendously in every area that they can, because they know their time is short. Amen? They know their time is short. Warfare. 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 The act of engaging in a battle to overcome the enemy. That's called warfare. It is an act of engaging in a battle to overcome the enemy. Warfare, the act of engaging in a battle to overcome the enemy. Matthew 24. Glory. Woo. Matthew 24:4. Warfare. The act of engaging in a battle to overcome the enemy. Now we're warfaring in all levels of planes of dimension, three-dimensional warfare. That's why we're called three-dimensional warriors, right? There's warfare going on in what you see and what you don't see. There's warfare within and out. Your greatest warfare is in. We're our worst enemy. Hallelujah. But that warfare, it's real. And not enough of God's children think that it's... See, because when things are going fine, they think, okay, everything's fine. Whether things are going fine or not fine, we must warfare every single day. That's why Jesus gave the formula. What's the first thing He said? Deny yourself. Pick up the cross. That's warfare. Then you can follow. See, many people can't deny themselves to fight. They're too busy. They've been distracted, taken by the world. They're too caught up in their emotional. See, there's emotional warfare, mental warfare, physical warfare. All of these things that are going, these are all battles that you and I are fighting every single day. We are hard pressed. We're being attacked everywhere. Technology, no matter what you do and what you look at, there's something behind it, even if it's good, that's trying to distract and manipulate. Hold things back. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy and left us not peace, hello, but a sword. That sword needs to come off the shelf. That sword needs to come out of the closet. Amen? And it needs to be sharpened up, cleaned up, oiled up, and on fire as a flaming sword. In Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take what? Heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. That's deception, right? He's already warning us, don't be deceived. And they will deceive many. And you will hear what? Wars. And rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we are in wars and rumors of wars. We're warned about engaging in warfare. And you will hear wars and rumors of war. And it says what? For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, there'll be pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of what? Sorrows. In Revelation 12, verse 7. Warfare, the act of engaging in a battle to overcome the enemy. That's what warfare is. If you're not in the battle, you become a what? Casualty. Amen. And even if you're in the battle, you can still become a casualty, you know. Everybody gets wounded at some time. That's why we want to strike first. Doesn't mean you won't get struck. But the more you bombard and hurt your enemy, the more victory you'll have. And it doesn't mean that you win every single battle, because you already won it all. We're to cooperate with the Spirit of God in battle. The Bible says that the battle belongs to the Lord. Then what's he sending us out for? Because we're the body of the Lord. And I think many people don't recognize that he's the head, we're the body. This is not about what God can do for you. It's what you can do for him. Amen? Warfare is the most important thing. He's looking for warriors, intercessors. He seals them. He says, don't harm my intercessors. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 12, 7, let's speak it. And war broke out where? So there you go. Where did it start? In the spirit realm. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But then they did not what? Prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now we know that this prophecy is not fully completed yet. Because they're actually been removed from God's throne room in his heaven, the third heaven, and they're now ruling in the second heaven. But they will be wiped out from every heaven and from the face of the earth and put in the pit at some time. And verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast out. And they what? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil knows that he has come, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he what? He knows he has a what? Short time. Now when the dragon saw that he was been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. That's Israel and the body of Christ. Because we're known as the bride, aren't we? But the woman was given two wings of an eagle. These two wings of an eagle, I really believe, are Elijah and Moses. And that's a preparation for the rapture. But they also represent something else. The United States. That she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. That's 3.5 years. That means something's going to change. And I truly believe this. That when Trump comes in office and they begin to wipe out all of this foolishness and arrest these people and, you know, and all of this other stuff, many people from the world are going to want to come to America. Because it's run by God Almighty. So when you understand it, they're trying to get here now, but they're trying to get here now, and they don't even know why they're trying to get here now. They're coming in illegally. Because they're being paid for it. They're being bribed to it. Because the Democratic Party can't win a vote. They got to, you know, pay people to vote for them. Because the world is awakened. The awakening is coming to an end because most of the people that have been awakened are awakened now. Those who have fallen asleep are going to stay asleep. Hallelujah. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Remember, they were carried away by the flood the first time. The Nephilim race, the fallen angels, right? And all their offspring, which are now demons. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went out to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, war started in heaven, in the spirit realm, manifested physically then, in the physical realm. I want to repeat again, the wings of the eagle are Moses and Elijah. United States is also representation because it's symbolic. And again, when the world sees changes in this country and the protection, now listen to this, and the protection from this country to Israel and the church, they will be protecting both. People from all over the world are going to run here. We're going to come in legally. And that's when the trumpet sounds and Trump's in office. When he's back in office, for the world to see the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. Everybody okay? Warfare. That's how it's going to establish. That's how it's going to manifest. Without warfare, nothing happens. Delay. Delay. You know, I really believe, I know everything's about God's timing. But something that correlates with God's timing is his children who warfare. Because if the body of Christ is not warfare, and if they're not up to the place of warfare, then God can't do certain things. Remember, even when Jesus was in here, he went to places he couldn't heal nobody. I mean, this is God Almighty. He couldn't heal people. Why? No faith. Think about that. It's warfare. The greatest weapon is praise and worship, which brings God's presence. Then he warfares for you. The Bible says that they praised and worshiped the Lord and went before them in the book of Chronicles in the Old Testament in warfare. What did he do? He snared their enemies. He caused them to battle and kill each other. And I believe like right now there's more praise and worship going on than there ever has been. And they're actually confusion in enemies' camp and they're killing one another. And they don't realize it yet. Oh, glory. Ephesians chapter 6. It's not warfare-y. It's warfare. You know, the word warns us about all of the things, being distracted. Being distracted with businesses, being distracted with family, being distracted. All of these distractions that bring excuses, not to warfare. There's nothing but excuses. I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care if you sinned that day. I don't care if you broke covenant, repent in warfare. I mean, it's that simple, but it's that difficult. It's that difficult. Because the power to choose, we have the anointing. But again, that first part of the battle is within us. Amen? Ephesians 6:10, let's speak it. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickeries of the devil. That's the voices of influence. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood or the physical realm, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The unseen realm is your fight and my fight. And that's that inner fight. Because they love to shoot fiery darts. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Withstand. In the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Wow. Spiritual armor that fights against lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, lust of self. Mental and emotional battles. Mental and emotional battles. See, emotion is one of the deadliest things against us. There's a great thing about, there's the beauty of having emotion. We love, we have joy, we have peace, but then there's the deadly part of it. Where it brings lust. Desires. People oppressed and with heaviness. Grieved. And how about offense? What an emotion. Anger and hatred. Those are all emotions. How many people do you know that are still walking in unforgiveness? They're bitter. And they think they feel better. Look, when a person commits murder, not out of self-defense, but when a person goes out to murder because they're trying to fulfill something, that desire of emotion because of offense or anger. And that, like I said, that's how the enemy plays us, through emotion. Rejection. Rejection. Oh, God doesn't love me because I did this. Man, He loves you even when you did it. There is no sin that God doesn't forgive. There isn't any act a person can do that God doesn't forgive. Even the worst act. If a person can humble themselves and repent, he forgives them. Although people can't forgive the person that did it. Does everybody understand? Good. Let's go a little further. James chapter 4. See, you and I were born in a global war zone against the unseen enemy of influence. We were born in it. Welcome to the earth. The place of battlefield. James chapter 4. So we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and get up and fight. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us God chastens those he loves. Every one of us gets chastened. But some people can't handle it. God chastens those he loves. I get chastened a lot. Believe me. Daily. You get to a point where you enjoy it. Thank you. Okay. That's why you're supposed to count it all joy. Amen? But then there's individuals that get offended and hate, and they get all goofy over chastening. Don't get goofy over chastening. He loves you. Well, see, he's not trying to harm us. He's trying to get us in position. Remember, chastening is a part of training. It's called training for reigning. You're going to get rebuked by God. At least he talked to you. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 4, verse something. I guess it's verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that were in your what? Inside of you. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you don't ask correctly. And you're asking amiss because you want to spend it on your pleasures of corruption. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain that spirit dwells in us, yearns jealously, but he gives more grace, more way of escape? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But you got to do something first. Submit to God. People try to resist the devil without submitting to God.
I rebuke you, devil.
And he goes, no, you don't. You ain't submitted to your heavenly Father yet. You haven't submitted to the one that has authority yet. That's what it's about. See, when you submit to authority, you have authority. If you can't submit to authority, you have none. And the enemy knows it. I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes. But get beyond your mistakes. Amen? Get beyond your wrong decisions. Get beyond your sins. Get beyond all of this stuff. Submit to God and resist the devil. That's it. Well, I don't feel it. Stop getting it. There's an emotion. Quit looking for a feeling of freedom and receive freedom. Believe it. If you're looking for a feeling, you ain't never going to get it. God is not looking for someone that's chasing him for a feeling. Does everybody understand it? We're chasing him because we love him. Now, in the beginning, we didn't know any better. We needed help for some of us that were addicted or out there. When nothing else worked. So we came to God, the one that created us. And he's the only one that can fix us. We tried programs and all this stuff. We're not a program. We're a discipleship house. God said, disciple them, right? Why? So they can learn how to what? Fight. After he frees you, he wants you to teach you how to fight so that you become a soldier in this warfare, in this battle. That is constant. It's not occasional. It's constant. Let me tell you, the enemy will take advantage of us any time he can. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:1. Warfare. The act of engaging in a battle to overcome the enemy. Hallelujah. Verse 1. And you he made what? Alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Hello. The spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience are in your flesh, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. Oh, hallelujah. Just as a prince of power of air and their corrupt agenda to kill off humanity. And what do they use? They use doctrines of demons and doctrines of men. Does everybody understand it? They look at education. Hey, here's a prime example. They indoctrinate. So they qualify an individual that meets their indoctrinations. And I'm not saying things might not have started off good, but they sure aren't ending good. Look at these doctors and pharmaceutical companies that are now killing people. Now, I'm not saying all of them are bad. Amen. But the pharma key, black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. These pharmacies and their money and corporates have turned the course of this whole world. Because the powers of darkness are ruling them. They have learned Nephilim technology. They know how to mix things. You know, nicotine in its original state was not addictive until they put the chemical in for addiction. Now they're using nicotine to help people because they found out that there's good results to it. That doesn't mean you go out and smoke it. Hello? But there are so many things that are going on. And I think the pharmaceutical company, the educational, look at people go to get doctrines to become professors. Have you seen some of these professors? They're ridiculous. Transgender professors. All of this other stuff. They believe in this. Look at, they don't believe that there's a God. They're trained up that way now. Yeah, so science, they're trying to separate science from God. When actually science proves God. If it's true science, it will prove God every time. But the world doesn't want to do that. So these corrupt politicians now, the corruption has taken all over the world. Look at television and pornography and things to that degree. People are oppressed. Look at they promote the love of the money. Hey, you want to make some money really quick? Here, invest in this and you can 2 weeks you'll be a gazillionaire. It's a lie. Look at all the media now, YouTube and all of this other stuff that they're being brought before. They're being tried and exposed. Zuckerberg, I saw him yesterday in the Congress. They were questioning him. They tore him apart. They basically just told him, oh, you're a liar. I'm waiting for them to have the law, the true law, the military law, in every one of these congressional meetings where people are questioned. And when they purge, arrest them. And not, oh, well, we'll get with you later. You and I were to do something like that? Come on. We'd be arrested right then and there. See, there's the attack against Christianity now globally. There's the attack against Jewish globally. Why? Because they are righteous seeds in these areas. The enemy doesn't want them to grow and bear fruit for the glory of God. He's doing everything. He knows his time is short. He knows he can't do too much more. So the only thing they can win an election, now they're exposing all this election stuff. They're exposing all the killing, all the pharmaceutical killing. Everything is coming to the surface now. It's so overwhelming, no matter where you turn, it's there. Everywhere. But now that it's coming to the surface, we're waiting for them to do something about it. So they got to remove the individuals that keep preventing them to do something about it. And that's what's happening right now. They're removing the individuals that are preventing it to be done. All these FBI guys and all CIA and so forth that are protecting and these doctrines and not releasing the information. Congress has requested information to expose videos. They do not release them. And they've got to. So why aren't they arrested? Because the ones that are supposed to arrest them are corrupt. But it's just a matter of time here now. So you and I need a warfare. Because without warfare, those people will maintain their positions in office. And it's going to take longer for this to take place. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. We are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. That's what we have a saying here. It's a good day to what? Die. So the death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I what? I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread to the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Again, we're hard-pressed daily. There's daily battles. We live a life of warfare. We are living in a global war against evil inside of us and outside of us. Amen. There's the battle. Now, where there's true reality, when you hit the place where there's true reality to you, there's peace within. Peace, joy, and righteousness. If you're not walking in true reality, you're walking in false reality, then there's confusion. There's torment. There's frustration. Amen? So we must be consistent in warfare. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we in the latter times? If you don't know, you're in trouble. That some will depart from the faith. They'll stop. Now look at it. It doesn't mean that they won't say that I'm no longer a Christian. They've drifted. Departing from the faith. They've drifted. They got itchy ears. Now they're gathering with individuals that will speak their doctrine of how they believe or how they feel instead of what the truth is. Giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There it is. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they're so bound to this now, the conviction is gone. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created, to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word and of God and prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons to distract our call, purpose, and destiny. 2 Corinthians 10. To distract your call, purpose, and destiny. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God. Amen? We all make mistakes. We all do things that we regret. But it should never stop us from warfaring. You repent and you get up. You shake the dust off of the world and you get up. And you fight, whether you've been offended or not. Your life and my life is warfare. We have been sent into this world, taken captives, imprisoned. And when God released us from the entanglements of this world and being imprisoned in our minds and in our hearts and in our bodies, he gave you a sword. Why? So we can free others. So that we can free others. It doesn't mean that you're going to walk perfectly healthy. Man, when I had my visitation from the Lord, I realized after the glory began to wear off. I guess you might say that. I mean, I got healed in all areas, but not in every single area. But he gave me what I needed. It always reminds me of the song, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. God gives you what you need, and he blesses you more. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they're what? Mighty in God. We're pulling down what? And what's a stronghold again? A memory lie. See, people still holding on to things, not willing to let go. Do you remember when you did this? Oh, get behind me. If God don't remember, I don't need to. In fact, did you know that you realize something very powerful? The Bible says that when we go home, we won't remember. It's a whole nother reality. We won't have any lust of the eye, lust of flesh, and pride of life. It's not about gender. Hallelujah. I don't need to go any further on that. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, every memory into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And when you've done that, then you are qualified to punish it. In other words, get rid of it. Dismantle it. Disengage it from its effect in our lives. But you got to be, it's the same thing of submit to God, then what? Resist the devil. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1. That's called warfare, isn't it? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? First Timothy 1, verse 18. Hallelujah. This I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the what? Good warfare. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to what? Blaspheme. Wage a good fight, good warfare. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. You therefore must what? Endure, press through, overcome. Hardship, disappointment. Amen? Hardship, that's a part of disappointment. People get disappointed real easy. But don't let that, disappointment is an emotion. Oh, I can't believe you did that. Disappointment. Why? Because you're expecting things your way, and when they don't come, people get disappointed. Everybody's expecting something from God. People get angry with God because they didn't do what he wanted them to do. Like he's some kind of machine. You put two quarters in and, okay, I didn't get it. Then you start beating on that machine. I didn't get that candy bar. God ain't that way. He knows what you need. And he does far above all we could ever ask or think. One of the things about Daddy is he loves to surprise us. So sometimes you keep asking for the same thing over and over and over. He ain't giving it to you until you finally stop asking. Then all of a sudden, whoa! Might be 15 years later, but it will come. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Verse 3. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in the athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to what? The rules. The hardworking farmer must what? Be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding to all things. Oh, hallelujah. Good soldier, engaged in warfare. Again, it's a life of warfare. And this is where we've got to live our life. We must realize, and it must become a reality, that I am living in a life of warfare. I am living in war, and there's a battle everywhere I go and every day. There's a battle. There's a battle in my family. There's a battle in my neighbor's house. There's a battle. There's a battle everywhere. Children. There's battles everywhere. It doesn't matter. There's a battle at your job. Not here, though. There's battles everywhere. Come on, I know you. Look at how many times you check out of a grocery store. The cashier's a whatever. Hey, yo. Or they're not paying attention. They're talking to someone else and you're standing there for a while. It's a battle. Yo, this way. Man, you want to slap the hell out of someone. You want to make room for heaven. Anyways. You know, when you hear about all these things that are going on, it's a battle. Because it's easy to be angered. But there's a righteous anger. And that's different. But then there's an anger that protects self. And that's wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Pete 5, verse 6. Therefore do what? Humble. Make humble pie. Lots of whipped cream. And eat it. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he what? He cares for you. Be sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means what? Consistent. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can what? Deceive. Who he can attack, devour. Somebody get it? So you're not the only one. It says resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are what? Experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one that's in this battle. But thank God you know you're in the battle. Thank God you have the weapons. Amen? Think of when we didn't. Man, we were messed up. I was out there. Sheesh. Hallelujah. Psalm 144 in verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you what take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying what? Lying words, and whose right hand is right hand of falsehood. Sounds like it's what's happening right now. I will sing a new song. It's called the Song of Deliverance. Every time we sing, we bring in deliverance. I will sing a song, a new song to you, O Lord, on the harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings and who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. He has trained us for, that's why we train for war. Amen? That's what this whole ministry is about here. It's to train warriors. It's not to make people feel good. Hello? We tried feeling good. It didn't work. Now we have peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. And now our sport is demon casting out. Hello? We should all be hunters of demons now. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What's the law? His word. Everything he speaks is law. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping there's what? There's what? Great reward. Wow. Great. So I want to talk quickly. Expose seven great rewards. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him what? I love because he doesn't say listen. Because what is listen? It's when somebody agrees, yeah, but they're really not hearing a word you're saying. They're just trying to shut you up. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So you're going to be able to eat. That's quality food. You're going to eat from the tree of life, which maintains life. That's a promise from God. That's a reward. Verse 11. He who hear, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be what? Hurt by the second death. Won't be hurt by the second death. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. So you're going to get a new name. You're going to need a new name because you ain't going to know who you are. Praise God. Verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Wow. See, we will be rulers. And again, so many times I really believe that it's not just about rulers in this reality, but in multiple realities that God is going to establish, or if he's established already that we don't know about. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed with white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So not only will you get a new name, but God will write his name on you. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. In verse 21. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's a big throne. It's a mighty big throne. So we have all these seven promises. Seven is a number meaning complete and perfect. And there's much more. We have promises of God doing things right now. Not only in the spirit, but in the physical. He wants us to prosper. What does the word say about prosperity? It says, as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers. That's your emotions, your mind, your will, your imaginations, your conscience, subconscious, your attitude, motive, and desires. As they prosper and become more Christ-like, you will fall into a place of prosperity. Amen. And God will protect. Again, he's got rules and regulations for us to prosper. But we got to follow them. It's called cooperation. Amen. The world is corrupt. And there's a war going on against corruption. And we're involved in it. So warfare is our life. It's not a choice. It's life. Amen. So let's get there. Let's not be distracted and caught up in all kinds of stuff. Warfare every day. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you that you have warned us about maintaining a place and position of warfare. Well, I pray for each and every one here today that the seed would grow and bear fruit for your glory in each and every one of us, and that the reality of warfare will become true and mighty and constantly before us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.